I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the message that you've given. I thank you for the treasures we find in your word. I thank you for what you have for 2018. And I just pray, Lord God, this morning that your word would come forth and speak to us. Let your word come forth and speak to us, Lord God, that we might hear and understand and grow, developing in you, Lord God.
Yes.
Preparing for this year. Let your word do its work, have its way in our lives. I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and be our teacher. Come and open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our spirits to receive your word. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious and holy name. Amen. We've spent months upon months upon months studying one of the most important books in the Bible. If we only had access to one of Paul's epistles, it is kind of a toss-up between Galatians and Romans, because they both actually lay such a solid foundation for our walk. We could chew on the scriptures, these two epistles, we could chew on them day after day, month after month, year after year, if we only had two of his epistles, Romans and Galatians would be the ones I'd want. Over the break when I was having my surgery and such, I began studying Galatians. And I'm going to incorporate some of that here because I really believe the message, especially in light of what we are seeing today with a unity movement sweeping across our nation, which is why I started studying Galatians. We need to find out, we need to get back to the root of what caused Martin Luther to take his thesis and nail it on that door. We need to understand the revelation he gleaned, poring over this scripture. This was a man who was tormented. He knew there was more to God. He knew that God was a man. I don't mean a man. I mean Jesus. That God did come as a man, did he not? Jesus. He knew intimately what we were experiencing. Jesus came. He walked this earth. He died on the cross. He rose again that we might have life. Not just life abundantly, not just eternal life, but intimate relationship with God. That's what Jesus provided. Our salvation and an intimate relationship with God. And as he pored over the book of Galatians, he realized, and the Lord exposed it. He revealed it to him. The truth contained in his word that we are not saved by works, We are not saved because we go and we confess our sins to someone and they give us a few tasks to do and we are forgiven. We are not saved because we pay money to a church. Our loved ones are not saved because we pour money into their treasure chests. We are saved by grace and grace alone. Because God has given to each a measure of faith. He deposited it within our spirits when we were created. When we were formed in our mother's womb and our cells started multiplying, we were placed in there with a measure of faith. It became a part of who we are as each cell doubled, 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 doubled. Faith was imparted into each cell. It's part of the fabric of who we are. Faith is in there. God has given to each a measure of faith. And there is a moment when that faith is ignited within us. That is the moment we turn to God. That is the moment we bow the knee. When faith is ignited within us. Faith is ignited in us. What happens that moment we get saved? When Paul is writing his letter to the Galatians, what is he dealing with? And we could read about that in Acts 15. Paul goes because what's happened is some Pharisees are getting saved. And they're saying, okay, we're going to accept what's taking place. We're going to accept that Jesus, yes, he was the Son of God. But if you really want to be saved, you're going to have to get circumcised. And as time goes on, it starts to transform into this new doctrine. Okay, so if you're going to accept Jesus, you're going to get saved. Okay, we'll accept this. We're going to need you to get circumcised, and you're going to have to come under the law of Moses. You're going to have to merge this into one. That's what true salvation is. A merging, a convergence. And Paul, having been saved, doing what? Carrying his letters to Damascus to arrest the Christians. Jesus appears to him. He falls to his knees because Paul was a zealot. Paul was a man. He was a zealot. He knew the law. He was trained in the law. And he really believed what he was doing was carrying out the will of God. He believed it with all of his heart. And when Jesus appeared to him and said, "You are persecuting me. The one you were looking for has come, and I am here." And when he falls on his knees, he falls on his face. And the faith that had been imparted to him was ignited. And he saw the truth, and the truth set him free. They took him into the city. He neither ate nor drank for 3 days. Ananias comes in, scared out of his mind. Why? Because Paul has been persecuting, he's arresting Christians. But the Lord said, go, pray for him. He needs the confirmation of what I'm going to release through you to finish the work I've done in him the last 3 days. So Ananias, he goes and he prays for Paul. That work in Paul. That work. An understanding truly has taken place in him those 3 days. Like Jonah in the belly of the whale, God did quite a work in him in those 3 days. Out comes a man with a zeal for the gospel for 3 years. And Galatians teaches us, for 3 years, Paul is taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in, and I can picture this. Mom's experienced this. I believe we've all experienced it at some level, where the Holy Spirit comes in and teaches us a powerful revelation of his word. For 3 years, he is taught by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is taught. And he launches out. Can you imagine, for 3 years, Jesus over your shoulder saying, here, Paul, do you see where I came and I spoke to Abraham? Do you see where I gave him my covenant promise that he shall have a son? That he shall have a son. Not just a son, but he shall be a father of nations. Do you see here where I talk about the seed? That seed that shall come forth from his loins. His wife is barren. He is an old man. He says, I am dead. How can we have a child? But do you see where I have said and made my promises to him? You shall have a son. You shall have a son. Do you see where I told Abraham that? Look again, because you know my scriptures. You've been taught in my scriptures, Paul. Read through this. His seed shall crush the head of the serpent. It'll bruise his heel. Do you know that that seed isn't Isaac? That's my son that I was promising through his loins. That's who I was talking about. Do you see how Abraham, so hungry to see my promises fulfilled, Sarah, so hungry to see my promises fulfilled, handed over Hagar. Here, let us help God fulfill his promise. Take my maid, and she shall bear you a son. God's promise will come through her. Do you see how they stepped out of my will and entered into the flesh? I have a reason for this. It's in the scriptures for a reason. Because I want you to teach the people what it means to wait for my promises to come, and to live their life by the Spirit, waiting for the promises, rather than stepping into the flesh. Because look what happened with Ishmael. Abraham, his son of the flesh. Isaac, his son of the Spirit. Look at the wars that their descendants held against one another. Look what happens when you step outside of the Spirit. Look what happens when you do not wait upon God. I need you to help the people understand this, what it means to walk in the flesh like Abraham did with Ishmael, with Hagar. Abraham and Sarah were in agreement. Hagar was of the flesh. But the child born to Sarah is the one I promised you. That is of the Spirit. Things of the Spirit cannot be accomplished by man. Things of the Spirit cannot be manufactured, cannot be prompted, cannot be expedited by man. I need you to help my people understand. Do you see here, Paul? I need you to fully understand what my covenant meant, because that's how the people will come to know me, Jesus, as their Savior. Because they truly cannot obtain salvation by anything they do. It must come by the work of the Spirit. It must come by faith unto faith. When that faith is ignited and becomes a flame inside of their heart, the faith I imparted to them upon conception, that faith is what will lead them and guide them. It will become a fire within themselves, and it will begin to burn away the world out of their souls, out of their spirits, out of their flesh. That faith ignited will burn the world out of their flesh. So Paul, after 3 years of sitting under the divine revelation of Jesus Christ, embarks on his ministry. He goes, he meets with Peter. Peter, here, they're mixing things up. They're saying it has to come by circumcision too. But this is what the scripture says. We can't do this. It's not about our flesh. It's not about what our flesh can do. It's not about our works. And Peter agrees, sends him off with a letter. Acts 15, Galatians 1 and 2, sends him off with a letter. Gentiles, we're not asking you to be circumcised, to be considered of the faith. Because that's not how we get saved. So here we have Paul, a man who truly understands, because he was taught by divine revelation, the knowledge, everything that he knew leading up to that point. Jesus stood over his shoulder and showed scripture after scripture of how he fulfilled the law. You couldn't do this. Honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, You can't do that without me. You're going to slip up. Thou shalt not lie. You can't do that without me. Because your flesh, your need for self-preservation is going to get in the way. And you will lie. And it's going to take my spirit within you, within every single cell of your being, increasing as you feed it my word, as you pray, to burn within you so much that you don't care about preserving your flesh. And the truth will come forth out of your mouth. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It seems like a simple task. But what does the word say? If you lust after another woman, you have committed adultery. You are human. You will lust. But it is my faith in you, in every cell of your being, that will burn as you nurture it, as you feed it the word, as you pray to me. It will burn until it has so consumed the world that what you really focus on is me. And that lust begins to be incinerated. And you will not desire anyone other than your wife, because you have filled every cell of your body with me. Do you see what I'm saying? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not say the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Command after command. Jesus imparting to him a deeper and deeper understanding. He went through the temple and he showed Paul, do you see these pieces and how they represent me? Do you see how the final piece, the mercy seat, that is me. I am your mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark contained, the Ark of the Covenant, it contained the law. Aaron's rod that budded. What did it do? It budded life. It wasn't even attached to anything, and it budded. Life came from death. Only God could do that. The ark contained the covenant. Holiness of God. Something we were incapable of achieving, of obtaining. Were it not for Jesus, our mercy seat, even his blood sprinkled upon that mercy seat in heaven, so that we can enter the Holy of Holies. We know history shows us what happens when man does things his own way. They're moving the ark, a golden box containing the covenant, yet it so represented the holiness of God. When Uzziah reaches out to stop it from stumbling, because first of all, they're moving it the way they shouldn't be, dragging it by oxen. It's supposed to be carried by man. There's a whole process for carrying the ark. And they broke it. The final straw is reaching out and touching it, God's holiness, and the man drops dead. It's the holiness of God contained. Man could not touch it. Where they too would drop dead. So Jesus teaches Paul through the scriptures that Paul knew so well until the faith that was within every cell of Paul's body had been so ignited, it burned like a fire. And he went forth and he spread the gospel. He spread the gospel and it burned within him. He hungered for his people to know the truth of the gospel. But he knew he was called to the Gentiles. So when people are trying to tell the Gentiles, you need to get circumcised, he's saying, no, I know this is of the flesh because the Lord Jesus has taught me that himself. That is an act of the flesh. There was a reason Peter was assigned to the Jews and Paul was assigned to the Gentiles. Peter was a man who was not learned in the scriptures. He was taught by Jesus. Paul was learned of the scriptures. He too was taught of Jesus, but God had a call for him. And ultimately, his message will return to the Jews. So the book of Romans the whole theme of Romans is about our salvation. The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And we have studied and studied and studied what that means. The first three chapters are about the need for our salvation. The next two and a half are about the way to salvation. 6 through 8 are about the life of salvation. 9 through 11 are about the scope of our salvation. And 12 through 16 is the service of our salvation. And we are about to study 12 through 16. The scope of our salvation. Our salvation, that moment when the faith that was imparted into each and every cell of our bodies and ignited the moment we accept Jesus, that faith is ignited. And the further we walk into God, we could get saved and do nothing for 30 years. And that faith will be at the exact same level. Ignited. I can promise you, eventually, the fire will go back out. Or we can do as Paul did and fall to our knees. Fall to our knees. Submit ourselves to the cross, to the work of the word, the work of the Spirit of the Lord, the work of God in our lives. We can submit and dig deep into the word and prayer. And watch as that faith grows until it's such a consuming fire that our need to fulfill our flesh will dissipate. It will fade. And our need to fulfill the hunger of our spirit will increase. That's what God is calling us to. That is what God is calling us to. In 2018, the Lord told me a new breed of believers will arise. This will be a year of refining that will give birth to a new breed of believers. See, Paul had a commission upon his life to birth a new breed of believers. Believers who allowed the word to do its work in their lives, that they might arise as children of God that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the ultimate goal. That we can present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That we're not, how do we do that? That we do not conform to the world. We have a choice, you know. We have a choice. Even when we're hungering after the will of God, the promises of God, we have two choices. We can take the way of the Spirit, or we can take the way of the flesh. And often we do take the way of the flesh to get God's will done. Look what Abraham did. Sarah and Abraham took the way of the flesh to get God's promises fulfilled. Here, take my maidservant. Go into her. God's promise will come forth from her. If God makes you a promise, if you know something is the will of God, and you step into the flesh to fulfill the will of God, you eventually will have war. And that's exactly what Abraham's descendants had. War. We must. Paul says, I die daily. What does that mean? To the flesh, he dies daily. He submits his flesh to God daily. And he lives in the Spirit. He strives to offer himself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He says, don't be conformed to the world. Remember, in Romans chapter 11, what is he dealing with? He was dealing with the blindness that Israel was still walking in. That's what he was dealing with. And that to provoke them, the Israelites, to jealousy, he was going to graft in the Gentiles. That's what Romans 11 was about. The grafting. The grafting of the Gentiles. Why? Because the Israelites were a stubborn people, cleaving to the law instead of the Spirit of God. I need to awaken them. They know they've been my people, a favored people, wherever they go. Nations trembled in their wake. When they went into the promised land, word got out how God stood behind his people and enabled them to defeat heathen town after heathen town. They trembled. Everyone knew how God covered his people. And pride rose up. The ways of the flesh came out of that. And now he's saying, I'm grafting in a new people. People of faith. So that's Romans 11, Romans 12. Paul's saying, listen, you can't just bank on that faith, you know, that you accepted him. You have to press in. By the mercy of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This entire chapter, instruction after instruction, and when you do your lesson, write down every instruction he gives. Look up those words. Find out what they really mean. Find out the deeper meaning of those words. Because this is how you present yourself a living sacrifice. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to think. He says, don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Think soberly. Remember, we're members of one body in Christ, with Christ as the head. Gifts are distributed to each member along with the grace needed to carry that gift. Some are going to prophesy. Some are going to be in ministry. That's a ministry of service. It's in that ministry of service, that refers to those who, especially those who execute the commands of others. Some are going to be teachers. Some will encourage and comfort. Some will impart. Some have been created to show mercy. Some have been given love, and on and on. This is the new breed of believers God is calling to come forth in 2018. You go through, we each go through these scriptures, and let's look at them in our own lives. A refining is going to take place in 2018. The Lord said in 2017 to know no bounds. We pushed back hurricanes from our shores. We watched God bring a man into office that every attempt, including voter fraud, defiling his name, his character, every attempt, they took and unloaded their entire arsenal against this man, and yet he stands in office today, releasing the righteousness of God. because God knew he would come against human trafficking, saying it's a national crisis, an international crisis. We prayed against hurricanes that hit our shores. And in spite of the amount of water that was dumped into Houston, very few lives were lost. Because God showed mercy. Because we repented over the sins that were taking place in that town just before the hurricane came through. We were repenting for the horrific human trafficking that took place. He said to know no bounds in 2017. I'm going to show you who I am and the power that you can wield when you submit to me, when you follow my spirit. And in 2018, I'm going to refine your flesh. And I'm going to work that stuff that's in you that causes you to try to even expedite my will and promises through your flesh. I'm going to refine your flesh in 2018 so that a new breed of believers will arise. That's what's coming this year. A new breed of believers submitted to the flesh, laying out who they are, their faults, their sins, and saying, I'm done trying to achieve this in my own power and strength. I will submit to you, God, all that I am. I will let you transform me, that I might be a child of the Spirit, flowing in the Spirit, submitting to your will and your ways in everything I do. Because as we move forward, and darkness closes in, we are going to need to know how to walk by the Spirit. He showed his power to us in 2017. In 2018, he wants to show us his work in our lives. When the unity movement hit, and swept across our nation, the Lord said, brace yourself. Prepare, because my judgment is coming to the church. I cannot judge a nation when the church is so full of sin. And now the compromise that we see on the behind the pulpits of so many of our churches today, the sin, you see, sin gives way to sin. When we walk by the flesh, we will walk by the flesh more and more and more. If a pastor lusts after the woman on the front row 1 year, in three, she will be in his bedchamber. I'm telling you the truth. That is the type of sin we see. Homosexuality is rampant in the church. They get up on stage and perform, quote unquote, praise and worship songs with dresses so high, I think they're shirts. They dance as though they were at a nightclub. That isn't holiness. That is what gave way, those type of activities on the stages of the churches across our nation. And yes, I said stages, because they're not platforms. They're not pulpits. It's a den of sin. It is a stage where they present a show, not lead people to God. That is what gave way to the compromise of the unity movement. Copeland says Reformation is dead. And I say, the spirit of Reformation shall live and flow across this nation. It will reform the churches that they might arise and be what God has called them to be. God is going to raise a new breed of believers in this nation, breed of believers that will bow the knee to Him, that will live according to the Spirit, and they will not sin, because the spark, the fire of faith that lives in each one of their cells will be aflame, and their desire to preserve their flesh will be no more, because all they care about is pleasing God. They will walk and live by the Spirit. It will not be an easy year. For those that have only begun, it will be a very, very difficult year. But if we will press in, if we will press in, if we will bow the knee day after day, moment after moment, second after second, we will arise as children who present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That is our reasonable service. Romans 12 through 16. It's going to teach us how to live a life of righteousness. God is birthing a fire. I feel His fire in me. He is birthing a fire in His people. A fire. Submit to it. And let that fire consume everything within you that is not of Him. Everything. Lay it out. Lay it out. We've learned how to repent for a nation. We must never forget how to repent for ourselves. Let Him reveal that which is in you that He wants you to lay at His feet. If we give it to Him, if we expose our hearts, lay them on the altar, lay our flesh on the altar, the process will be so much easier. And you say, well, if He loves me, why is it going to be hard at all? You know, why doesn't He just take it? Because He's not going to wrestle you. And if you want to engage in that war, if you want to engage in that war, He's going to let you sit in your sin for a while. He's going to let us sit in our flesh for a while. And I'm telling you, it's not pretty. I've been there. It's not a pretty sight, and it doesn't feel good. And you wake up in the morning with this dread in your heart, and you're like, why do I feel this way? This is icky. But he allows that because he loves us. He really does want us to come to him. He really does want us to lay our flesh on the altar. But there comes a day that he loves us so much, and the call on your life is so important. He's going to allow the external pressures to close in on you until it just begins to squirt out the flesh like a giant boil that's been sliced, and all this toxic ooze comes out. That's a stinky, icky process. But we can bow the knee, lay our flesh on the altar. Let him show us. As you read these passages, lay everyone at his feet. Lord, he says in verse 4, we have many members in one body. Lord, am I remembering that? Am I considering the other members of my body? Analyze the scripture. Let him teach you. Holy Spirit, show me if I am not really living this passage out. Let his word have its way in your lives. Because 2018 is going to give birth to a new breed of believers. And you will hear me talk about that a lot. Because the mantle of Paul has been released. We talked about that last year. And the passages in the epistles that he's written are epistles we need to know. These letters we need to know. Because that is how we arise as a new breed of believers. Submitted to God. Living our lives as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable unto God. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. That word transformed by the renewing of your mind, really means to be changed into another form, a complete change for the better. That's the breed of believers that's going to arise in 2018. The question I have is, will you be among them? Will you be among them? And I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves every day. Every day. Because this new breed of believers is what is going to help the church come out of the turmoil, the judgment that's coming to the church is going to bring. There will be those that come out. They run from those church pews, those church doors, because they see what's coming. And they're going to need to find a place to help them heal, and to help them grow in God. Even those that have been in church their entire lives will need to find a place to come and grow in God. 2018 will give birth to those people, those leaders. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for meeting Paul on his road, on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christians. I want to thank you for saving him. I want to thank you for standing over his shoulder for 3 years and teaching him who you are, revealing yourself to him through the covenant of the Old Testament. I want to thank you for compelling him to write these letters, compelling him to press through illness, imprisonment, stonings, lashings, 3 times. He received the lashes. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He pressed through it all, Lord God, to get the purity of the gospel message out. I want to thank you for preserving his letters, that we might learn from them. And I ask, Lord God, that you would take your word and write it on our hearts. You've taken out our heart of stone and placed within a heart of flesh, soft, malleable. Write your word upon our hearts. Write your word on our minds. Let it be all that we think about. How do we submit to your will? How do we conform to your ways? How do we allow you, Lord God? How do we lay ourselves before you that you might transform our minds, the way in which we think, breaking off strongholds, breaking off traditions that are not of you, breaking off the bondages of false doctrines, breaking off even the wounds inflicted upon us as children, healing us. Lord, I'm reminded of the vision you showed me. Years ago, I was studying your word, and I used to sit outside my children's room as they fell asleep, and I would just study your word as they drifted off to sleep. And you showed me a picture of a brain. And as I studied the word, an eraser came and began to erase the scars left in me from the years prior decisions I'd made that led me into a life of pain. You were erasing the wounds left by that with the eraser of your word. I thought, what a beautiful picture of the work that your word can do in our minds. You heal the whole body, the mind, the emotions. You heal us. Studying your word heals us, transforms us, conforms us to your spirit. Let your word have its way in our lives. Give us the grace we need, Lord God, to get through this process. Give us the courage we need to lay ourselves on the altar. Give us the strength to face the obstacles. Help us. Prepare us. And let us arise at the end of 2018 as a new breed of believers, having endured the refining process. I thank you, Lord. I give you praise and glory and all the honor. In your name, amen.